Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Win. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Yes, hello. Bills at 4-0 after a fine 31-19 win over the Saints. Good teams win. Great teams cover.
The show's parlance here. You got to know our code, folks.
2-2 against the spread.
Yeah.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Sean McDermott to come. His, as it says here, postgame media conference is presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. How is he going to sound?
I think he's going to sound, anytime you win a game, it's good. But I would expect a pretty, I don't want to say tense, but they got to tackle people. Their run defense is abhorrent.
Lots to fix. Win's a win. Praise God. That's right. That's it.
Yeah, I think he'll be more critical than that.
Okay.
Things to fix. Right. I don't know. He's not going to call people out directly, but I mean, they gave up almost 350-yard plus rushers in this game. Rattler was 49 and the 65 and 70 whatever. They have 180 yards rushing in this game. I mean, New Orleans could not really hurt them through the air. And the only thing that hurt them through the air is Rattler scrambling on what looked like pass plays. And I don't even know if those are actually pass plays or these plays that are made to look like passes so he can run, because they couldn't really move the ball in the air. But, man, the running game kept them in this game.
Did you think at any point the Saints could win?
No.
Not really. They blew it at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they really did.
Like, they just did not need... They didn't need a touchdown there. What they needed there was to not get burned the other way before halftime was over and just bleed the clock. If you score, you score. Kick your field goal, 14-13. You get the ball. It's basically a tie. Yeah. You kick a point, I go for two. I'm basically tied there. But what are they doing? Olave throws a pick. I don't know. That
was
hard.
An incredible play by Bishop, though.
It was, but it shouldn't have been possible.
I know. Well, I don't know. On the other hand, it was there. You know, like it took an incredible effort by Bishop to make that play. I mean, he made it, so shame on you for calling the trick play, but man, it was so close to working.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're throwing, I don't know, I wouldn't have had Rattler throw a pass in that sequence. Like, that should have just been, you know, run the clock out and get to halftime, and don't you feel pretty good? You're going to get the ball there. But the Saints had to have their touchdown chance. They don't get it. And then you have, I mean, the fourth down stop, you know, in the fourth quarter gives the Bills, or gives the Saints rather, a little bit of a look at it. But then that doesn't go anywhere. And then you have the Kincaid touchdown, and after that,
and a roughing the punter penalty again. Oh, that
let's get it sponsored.
Out.
I mean, the weekly, why are teams still rushing punters? We don't know, but they're doing it.
Yeah, this is another one of these games that is, I mean, a comfortable-looking score in the end, but into the fourth quarter, I didn't think the Saints were going to win, but it was there for them. And, you know, that we might be at a point in our lives, our arc as Bills observers, where that alone is going to make you tell. You're telling me another NFL team has a chance to win the game? Boy, I'm tense. And I wouldn't blame people. I was tense. But, you know, it almost feels like acting at this point. Because
yeah, that's right.
If you're asking me really, like, maybe before that sequence that led to the turnover, I don't know, at some point there when the Saints had their touchdown, you know, I'm watching with my son, and he's, you know, new to this world, you know, the media part of it, and, you know, has only been really watching football, you know, as a grown-up for a few years now, and he's like, man, they're in this game. I'm like, they might get just one more field goal. I could see the Bills winning this game 31-10, like right at that point. And, you know, it didn't end up that way, but no, I didn't. I never thought they were really in danger of losing, but, you know,
you were right.
I was right, but I also might be wrong to be that optimistic.
Let's go to Josh Allen.
How we doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Hey.
Victor, right?
That's right.
Hey, Josh, is that a case of kind of like just survive in advance, like the NCAA tournament, just kind of get past him, do your job, move on?
I mean, I feel like it's every game. You know, we play in the NFL. Every team we play is more than capable of winning each and every week. You know, they came out, they had a really good game plan, offense and defensively. You know, they're a team that's establishing a culture with their head coach. You know, it seems like they're doing things the right way over there. They came ready to play today.
Josh, can you pull a mic closer to you, sir? Thank you.
Josh, first half, y'all come out on, first quarter, you come out on fire, you know, not a problem. Second quarter, you know, you got behind the sticks there a little bit, losing rhythm. What attribute to losing that rhythm in the second quarter?
Just got to stay in front of the sticks. You know, we weren't doing ourselves any favors. A couple boneheaded penalties, boneheaded mistakes, throwing a pick doesn't help. Defense had our back, though. You know, they played great all night tonight, or all day today. And, you know, again, just got to keep finding ways to keep moving the ball, staying in front of the chains, first downs, you know, and again, not turning the ball over.
What did you recognize what the Saints defense was trying to do to you guys?
Early on, they were playing a lot of man, you know, and we had a little bit of success on some crossing patterns, and then they really started to, you know, drop back and play some of their zone, two-eye coverage, and really force some things underneath. And, you know, I thought their defensive line is one of the better units in the league. They got some studs over there, Carl Granderson, Wyman Cowboy. He got me tonight, I think. So, yeah, it's a really good defensive front. And, you know, we gotta be better on offense, and, you know, it starts with me.
What happened on that fourth down play, the little shovel, the Shakir? It looked like they knew it was coming, but can you explain how that maybe broke down?
Yeah, I mean, I toss it to Khalil there, and I run the other way. You know, it seems like they just made a really good play. I couldn't tell because I really wasn't watching. So,
is that a play, though, where maybe you'd like to just kind of pound it up there with either James or maybe a play fake? That type of thing, or?
Hindsight's 20/20. You know, we've ran that play before, had some success with it. So, you know, I won't dispute anything Joe calls because it typically works.
Back game where you found Keon, or not Keon, Dalton on kind of that wheel down the sideline, what does Dalton do from a route running standpoint that makes that play work so well?
Well, I think it's his willingness to block. You know, a lot of the time today we were asking him to block for some of our, whether it be jet sweeps or outside throws to Khalil. And when defenders know that, they kind of have to pick their poison. They either run up and try to cover under what's behind Dalton and allowing him to stock block and go, or they play over the top and then I throw the check down. So it's his willingness to block that's getting, you know, giving defenses trouble because they don't really know what to do in those situations.
Josh, can you tell us a little bit just in what you're witnessing in the evolution of James's game overall these first four games this season?
I mean, it seems like he's getting better each and every week, which is hard to imagine. The way that he kind of has this patience to hit the hole, but when he hits it, I mean, he's shot out of a cannon. His contact balance is unbelievable. His jump cuts are awesome. I'm glad he's on our team.
Josh, what happened on that scramble play, the one right before the Dalton touchdown, actually? You know, for a while, things were starting to stall out. It felt like you kind of, you know, put it on yourself to try and make a play there.
Yeah, third and about five. Just kind of got to the back of my drop, was feeling a little bit at the feet, and just decided to tuck it. I'm kicking myself, though, because Dalton ran a fantastic route, and it would have been an easy completion. But decided to make it a little harder on ourselves and do that. But, again, just trying to do what I can do to help this team win football games, and needed a first down there, and just that's all I was trying to do.
Josh, Cole Bishop interception, very Micah Hyde-ish.
It was. I'd agree there. It was body language and body control, very much so.
What was your reaction?
Awesome. I mean, kept them out of points right before the half, and, you know, they were receiving the ball in the second half, and, you know, we call that double dipping, and we stopped them before the half in three and out, I think, coming out of halftime, and got the ball back and scored. So that's situational football. That's something Coach McDermott constantly preaches, and just happy that we can go out there and execute that.
I understand you have to do what the defense is, you know, giving you and all of that, but for a while in the fourth quarter, you know, your attempts were pretty low compared to what they normally are. How difficult as a competitor is that for you to sometimes not be the one who is being asked to always make the big play or do like what you did on the scramble and ultimately make that play?
Whenever my number's called, you know, whatever that may be, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm there to make the play. And, you know, flows and ebbs and flows of the game, you know, it switches every week. You never know what situation you're going to find yourself in. Obviously, today was a little bit different situation. But, again, just doing what I'm asked to do, you know, whenever the plays needed to be made, just go out there and try to make them.
Jackson Hawes is there. Blocking, obviously, but he always seems to get open for at least one big play per game. What has he meant to the versatility of this offense and just through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, when we roll out our 13 personnel with Dalton, Dawson, and Hazy, you know, you have to be ready for us to run it. But he gives us that element, you know, what, you know, if we nake it out, it's not always Dalton or Dawson coming out and making a play. He's more than capable of making these plays, and he's shown that over the course of these first four games.
Josh, you kind of like these past four games of putting it together, not the way you want to, but you're averaging 30 points. How scary could this offense really be once you guys really get the clicking?
I mean, again, we want to go out there and we want to score every single drive. You know, anytime that we stall or turn the ball over or punt for that matter, we feel like it's a disappointment. Again, we're going to watch this film and try to learn from it and, you know, put ourselves in better situations early on in the game and, you know, try to stay as two-dimensional as possible and go from there.
I was going to say, you know, to Mookie's question, you guys have scored 30 or more in every single game, right? So the floor is certainly high. I mean, how comforting is knowing that? Like, you know, you guys have really raised the floor with this offense, even on a day when you said you guys made some boneheaded mistakes, put yourselves behind the sticks. To be able to still have that output, I mean, what is that a credit to?
That's a credit to everybody doing their job, not blinking when it comes down to it, and making the plays when they need to be made, and just trusting what Joe's calling. Hey, guys.
Josh Allen, James Cook mentioned, let's get you the Skyworks stats of the game. Mm-hmm. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Are they impressive?
Well, Cook is impressive again, 22 for 117 and a touchdown. Allen adds 45 yards on the ground on seven carries, so they run for 165 as a team. Ray Davis, one carry for 3 yards. The rest of it was all Cook and Allen. Passing, Allen 16 for 22 for 209, two touchdowns, one interception. Yes, an interception. I know. Can you believe it?
I saw it. It's real.
It really happened. 5 for 69 for Shakir, including a 43-yard touchdown. Keon Coleman, 3 for 45. Kincaid, 1 for 28. His lone reception was that touchdown that pretty much iced the game. On the other side, Spencer Rattler, 18 of 27 for 126 and a score. Alvin Kamara, 15 for 70. Kendre Miller, 11 for 65. Mm. Spencer Rattler, 6 for 49. So a good rushing day. As far as the defense goes, you saw Epinesa late with a sack and even a forced fumble that the Saints managed to recover. The Bills on the day had 3 sacks. They also gave up 3 sacks, which is pretty uncommon. 3 sacks and a turnover in a game. Oh, my gosh.
The Bills, Josh Allen threw an interception, but they did not lose the turnover right. battle. Capital Bishop, T, capital B.
Bishop got it back for him, yeah.
Bishop, and then so it's a push at least, and right. that's 26 games in a row, furthering their NFL record. We will get to Sean McDermott and talk some more. You can join us at 716-803-0550. Bills at 4-0. Next up, next Sunday night, home to the Patriots, who won big today. They're now 2-2. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Welcome back, Bills postgame. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. It's 31-19 today. The Bills, another double-digit win at home to go to 4-0. Before we get back into it, let's get a check of traffic. Here is Trevor Hauer.
Abbott Road is closed northbound and southbound from Route 20 to Route 20A in Orchard Park due to this afternoon's game between the Bills and the Saints. The surrounding streets of Highmark Stadium are still packed as Big Tree Road, Southwestern Boulevard, and California Road are seeing some heavy stop-and-go traffic in both directions. The 219 northbound is seeing some strong bumper-to-bumper delays from Mile Strip Road extending through the 90 East approaching Route 400. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Score big with new Chevys and quality pre-owned vehicles from Paddock Chevrolet. I'm Trevor Hauer on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, Trevor. Bills top the AFC East, still 4-0. New England wins big over Carolina.
Let's mention that the Chargers have lost. So one of the undefeateds in the AFC has fallen. They lost in New York to the Giants. Jackson Dart's debut. I think that was a field goal game. I think the Giants won by 3. And the Colts are playing the Rams, currently tied at 3 early.
21-18, the Giants final. Baltimore right down the field off the opening kickoff, 7-0 at Kansas City. first or second play of the Chiefs on their offense is to Xavier Worthy, who gets a face mask against him 15 yards the other way. So we'll see what kind of game that is. Is this one of those days where, because you're in Attic of the Stars and I'm in the studio, I'm going to say what happens in that game on TV and you're not going to know for 5 seconds, or you're going to be ahead of me, or what's happening?
I was seeing. I can tell you that that play was indeed 1st and 10 for the Chiefs. I don't know if they had picked up a first down on a previous play. I didn't see one.
Okay.
And then the face mask. So, yeah, I was a few seconds behind you there.
So, this is what we're going to do this year. It's what we've been doing with the Bills when they look like they're in position to, I don't know, probably cruise to the playoffs again. We're arguing about how good they are, right? Like, wasn't that today? Wasn't that last Thursday night against Miami? Are they really, what do we need? What are we trying to figure out? Like I always ask, are they good enough to just run roughshod over the whole league? Well, they didn't blow out the Saints, and they didn't blow out the Dolphins. So for some, that's going to be kind of a bad sign, but I don't really think it needs to be. You know, you're winning these games by 10 or more points anyway, and you're doing it without your best fastball. So I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. I do think, what are some consistent themes, even going back to last year and so far this year? Run defense, tackling, problematic again. Allen opened this game, it looked like maybe they were going to air it out, but then there were a number of times where it felt, and this is how the announcers described it anyway on TV, for those of you who weren't watching, you know, on TV but watching in the stadium, like, he's looking downfield and checks it down. And I saw a lot of that in person last Thursday at the Dolphin game, and you got to wonder about whether they've got enough to get open down the field to spring some of those big plays consistently. They have enough to win these games, and their schedule is not arduous. But I think it's right to wonder, you know, aside from the fourth quarter against Baltimore, do they have that kind of fastball when they really need it? I think we'll be wondering about that until they lose a game that they cut a little too thin, at least midway through the fourth quarter. Again, it's hard to really say that with any authority when you win the game, you know, by 12 points, as it turns out. I think we're going to be picking apart comfortable wins.
Yep, that's right.
Which is a weird place to live.
It's weird to live there, but it's also mostly where we have been living for 4 years. So it's not like it's brand new. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sean McDermott still to come. 716-803-0550 for your calls. Here's Kevin with us. Hi, Kevin.
So, Bulldog, what up, fellas? First time this year.
All right. Nice to hear from you, Kevin.
Good. Typical another Buffalo Bills win. But the thing that's surprising me, this is the second week in a row where it's taken a penalty to really bail us out, you know, in a close game. Granted, we got it. Sorry, the punter guy got hurt. But we can't be keep consistently waiting on a penalty or something to bail us out. Josh looked great in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden we go to sleep. I mean, against a good team, that's not going to fly. You figure we got New England, they put up 42 points this week. You know, they're always a tough out when we play in the division. We got to put a cap on these games, and we got to put that foot on the throat, and we got to keep that throttle. Bang, 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 let's go. Because there were some times in there, man, where that offense really went to sleep. And like you were saying, he was looking for those throws downfield, and they weren't there. They were not there. So, I mean, he got sacked 3 times looking for that throw? I mean, we got to figure out something. I mean, I push the ball down the field, chuck and duck, I get it. But, I mean, we got to figure out something, man. Because if these guys know we ain't going down the field, you know they're going to choke them in the box.
All they do is score 30 points a week.
Right. But there was a slumbery part of this game, right? I mean, the caller just said it. After they got out to the lead, there's 4 drives in a row where I think the total going into halftime was maybe 15 yards on those 4 possessions. And that is reminiscent of the Miami game where, you know, the defense got some stops in a row and the Bills, I think, 3 possessions in a row matched them with 3 and outs of their own, or at least punts of their own. So, you know, what does that, what, where you end up there is, again, like we said as we began this segment, where you didn't get out to a 28-7 lead, and so the game was a little tighter, really a lot tighter than you might have liked or expected, but in the end you won by 12. So, you know, I don't know. Raise the level of however upset you are to whatever level you need to. But they're 4-0. Right.
It is a choice. It is a choice.
They're 30 points again.
It is a choice, right?
Yeah.
How do you want to be? The Bills, in their last 15 regular season games, have scored 30 points or more 13 times. The two, when they didn't, were both against New England, by the way. One was the finale last year where Josh Allen, you know, gleefully left the field after one play, and the Bills hilariously lost to the team that cost themselves the number one overall pick. And the other was the game here, 2 weeks prior against New England. But going all the way back to week six of last season, then starting in week seven, they have scored 30 points or more every week, 15 weeks in regular season play, 13 times. The two they didn't, both against the Patriots. 7-3 is now Baltimore's lead over Kansas City. A couple of Xavier Worthy plays. They ended up getting stopped, you know, somewhere around the 30-yard line. I'm not so dialed in on that game. But it is 7-3 now going to the break in Kansas City. Ravens in the lead. Here is Zach with us. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. Listen, a couple of points. I'm never worried about giving up 129 yards passing to a quarterback. I'm starting to believe on games like this, I you know, leading into the week, I'm like, why can't they just blow them out? They're far superior, like, everywhere. I think it's going to come out, like, years down the road that they don't game plan for guys like this, that they know they're, like, super inferior. I know it's the league. I know it's the NFL. Anything can happen. But I could see McDermott in 15 years or somebody admitting that they don't, like, they don't game plan for guys like Spencer Rattler or whoever going into games. Like, there's a lot of games like this over the last, like, 5-6 years.
You could be right. Maybe we'll get a book, but I'd be stunned if that's correct. I mean, whoever they're playing, they're planning for. You might make a point. We've talked about this plenty of times over the years since the Bills have ascended to this status where they're a Super Bowl contender every year. Are you using all your best stuff against teams in the early part of the season that you're two touchdown favorites against? I feel like we get various answers to that from our different, you know, different people we talk to who played in the league. I think you want to make that point. Fine. To me, there's no way they didn't plan for. I think that's what's so alarming about giving up the rushing yards they gave up, because you know he's good with his feet. And you should have been prepared for that. And they were undisciplined on their pass rush too many times and allowed him room. It wasn't like he made incredible scrambles to get away. He just kind of mostly stepped up, and the middle was open, and he took off. They are playing a very good running quarterback again next week in Drake May with New England. So I expect, you know, you asked me earlier, like, what's McDermott going to sound like? I'll bet that's going to be a focus this week, whether he wants to tell you or not, because they're going to have to corral that, because to me, May is a step up as a scrambling quarterback from this guy.
He reminds me of Tyrod Taylor, Rattler. Maybe it's number two. He wears number two. I don't know. Something about him. They're going to get Oliver back. Maybe as soon as Sunday, they're going to get Milano back. I bet McDermott is concerned. I think he's walking around concerned about his defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trey White takes a timeout in this game, you know? He goes to timeout, comes back, makes an important play on Kamara. The Bills, McDermott, they have to know what the Saints aren't or what the Dolphins weren't before, not even like road games, where you can talk about crowd noise or just sort of different environment. Like, they come here and mostly do what they want. Would you not agree with that? Like, they kind of mostly do what they want on offense. But little things always trip up the Dolphins. Clock management, the big pick in that case last week. And New Orleans, I mean, this guy's 0-10 as a starter. Like, they don't know how to win games. So, brand new coach. He's yet to win his first game as a head coach. Like, it's one thing. It starts with good players, but it's one thing the good teams do is know what to avoid. And, you know, the Bills are a great team, good or great team. Like, yeah, they do know how to avoid the pitfalls. And these teams like the Dolphins and the Saints, don't. But when it's thinking about Sean McDermott and his defense, like, it's not tight at all.
No.
So there's a long way to go until the playoffs, and everything this year is going to come down to the playoffs, but it's not tight.
No, they are not buttoned up, really. I mean, I said a few times late in the week, it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where they're sloppy enough, the Bills, on either side of the ball, to lose this game. They were sloppy. You know, there were a lot of penalties. You did get a turnover. Allen got sacked three times. And they missed a fourth down conversion at midfield. Like, there were things that were not buttoned up here, but it still, but it tells you how wide their their berth is.
The berth.
Here, because they were kind of a sloppy team today that was maybe begging to get beat, and all they did was win by 12.
That's it. Best they could do. Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
Good, man.
Hey, just leaving the parking lot now here in lot 7.
Good
great
luck.
Game, you know. couple things. Say what you want. Without Ed Oliver and Milano, our defense definitely is different. I'm sorry. With those two in the lineup, I'm not worried. Secondly, New England comes here next week. Definitely a different challenge. But the thing that I was a little curious about as I'm waiting, watching the game today in the stand, it was fourth and I believe one or fourth and two, and they pulled that trick gadget to Shakir where he just flipped him the ball and they stopped us. And I was like, why didn't they just simply give it to James? He's been eating all day. And the other thing is with James, he is showing that he is top five right now with the Barkley, Henry, and a couple others. James Cook is truly cementing top five running back status. But my question really is that Shakir play. I didn't like that at all. Thanks, fellas.
Go ahead.
That play was so close to working. I mean, I know it didn't work, right? So you might not do the other thing. I gotcha. Vandermark gets tripped by his line mate there, Osiris Torrance, and stumbles past the guy. He's got, I think, a pretty easy time walling off and giving Shakir a seam. I'm not telling you it goes for a score, but there was not a lot left over there if the guy doesn't stumble over his teammate. Like, he just would have. The guy, of course, the guy who was supposed to block could have made a great play and blown him up or something and wrecked the play, but it was a fraction. It was just so close to being a really good play.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I'm always here to try to defend anything resembling a trick play, you know, but again, like, remember last year when Brandon Bean in the offseason said something to the effect of, we really don't need Josh Allen to run in week two. Like, this is week two. New Orleans at home is week two. Miami last week at home is week two. Like, they're trying stuff. I don't know what they're keeping in their pocket for the Kansas City game or the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, before you go into what they should have done instead of what they did, ask yourself if you ever thought they were going to lose. And if the answer is no, just move on, right? Like, that's this game for me. That's last week's game for me. That's been 20 games in the last 3 years for the Bills. Did it ever matter when they only beat the Jets by 8? Did it ever matter? No, we don't walk around talking about those games. We talk about 13 seconds. Like, that's what we talk about. So, you know, nice day, win's a win. Anything, the minutia, I don't know. Is James Cook a top five back? Who cares? It's week four. He's doing really well. Everything is, you know, green light when it comes to James Cook. But are we trying to re-rank these guys because Derrick Henry fumbled last week? I'm not. We're waiting on Sean McDermott. Let's go to William next. Hi, William.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Really, I want to talk about a lot of what you guys have been talking about. Obviously, I think we all know the Bills have not played to the level we think they're capable of. And they've kind of shown they are capable of. But we're still winning by 10. Multiple scores, unlike, you know, the Chiefs last year who were winning games like this, but one score games.
Right.
So I want to kind of ask you guys, what do you think? Do you think that's a big benefit, winning these games where we're really not playing our best, but we're still kind of winning them pretty easily? And especially against teams like this that we really are not a competition to the Bills, and we all know that. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
What's the question?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is there a benefit to the? I mean, the benefit is that you're 4-0. That's it. The benefit is that you are in the driver's seat for the one seed. We'll see what the Colts do later on. Well, they're playing now against the Rams.
3-3.
3-3 still. Okay. That's it. The benefit is the standings. I think. I don't think there's a benefit, unless you want to really get down the rabbit hole on the thing we just addressed a few minutes ago, which is, you just said it too. What are they holding things back? Do they have better stuff? Because that's why you worry about how it looks, even though you're winning games pretty comfortably. Is are you going to have enough when you're pushed? They were pushed exactly one time so far this year, and lo and behold, they had enough. Their quarterback threw for 251 yards in the fourth quarter of a game where they needed basically every single one of those yards.
Lamar Jackson intercepted on a pass, looked like kind of a throwaway as he was about to get wrecked in the pocket to Mark Andrews. Ravens were driving again, but intercepted by a linebacker at the sideline. So Kansas City takes over mid to late first quarter, down 7-3. Let's go to Dwayne next. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
Hey, quick question. Just trying to figure out, I want to piggyback off the last guy that just called in and was asking about that. We were like 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, and I want to know what you guys think about the Bills, really not giving it to Josh Allen doing the tush push. Or do you think the Bills are going away from that? And
I think it's week two. I think it's week two, yeah. Which is means week four against the Saints.
And we got to go with the coaches talking.
Sean McDermott.
Couldn't ask for anything more. Glory to God for the weather, for the win, and all his blessings. And I thought the team really came together in the second half. We weren't really playing complimentary brand of football in the first half, and came out in the second half with a little more energy and an attitude, and I thought that showed on the first drive for defense, first drive for offense. Still a lot to work on. It was good to see James, break the record that he did, the franchise record, and I'm happy for him. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into that, not just from him, but for all those around him and O-line, all those involved, Coach Cromer, all the offensive coaches to the work that they put in there, Coach Brady as well, and Coach Gund, and then Cole Bishop getting his first NFL interception. Great to see. He's worked hard, and he continues to grow every week. And I think that's it. So time is yours.
Coach, just going to talk about Cole Bishop in that play. How important and how impactful was that play? Kind of like Micah Hyde just a little bit. I kind of thought he was still out there, but just care to talk about his play. Yeah.
Well, it was a huge play in the game if you kind of really think about it big picture due to the – they're getting the ball after half. They're down there inside of, whatever it was, 2-3 minutes to play, maybe less. And, they score before half, potentially. They come out with the ball after half. And now you're talking about a potentially, 14 play or a 14-point situation there. So big-time play, and it was, they ran a gadget there, and Colt did a great job sniffing it out.
What's your reaction to the penalties, just the number of them that you guys took?
Yeah, we own them. And we got to get them fixed. So, I'll take a hard look at them and make sure that, we're teaching the right things and we're executing the right things technique-wise. You can't beat yourself.
Sean, operationally with the timeouts, obviously you want all of them late. What went into those two moments when you had to kind of take those?
So, starting on, we burned, another timeout. I believe it was in the first half. The play clock running down, can't do that. You need timeouts. They're, like I've said before, they're gold at the end of the half, end of the game. And we got lucky, quite honestly. We didn't have to use them because we didn't have any left, at the end of the game there. It was substitution based. They did some no huddle. One in particular, the ball ended up on their sideline, which, when that happens, you're expecting to get someone stand over the ball. If the ball went out of bounds, in their coaching box, in the player's box there. So, anyway, but regardless, we've got to do a better job of with our substitutions and managing those substitutions accordingly.
Hey, Sean, that situation was 21-19. You're at midfield. You had 2nd-and-4, and James comes off the field, and you go run to Ray, run to Ty, and then the little. flip? I mean, in that situation, thinking back, would you rather have James Cook on the field for one of those?
Well, we got to go back and look at it. Obviously, it wasn't good enough, so we'll go back and evaluate that.
Coach, how important was gap integrity coming out in that second half? It seems like they were going a lot of multiple sets, some motions and shifts, trying to get you off of your keys there. So what would you tell those guys at halftime, the importance of gap integrity?
Yeah, well, we start every week with that, the importance of doing your 111th, doing your job. I thought overall, you know, they came out trying to run the football on us and keep the game, you know, let's call it close, and they did a good job of that. And you know, I thought we did a better job in the second half in some situations, but everything starts with gap integrity in the run game and doing your job and then tackling. I didn't think we could have tackled better than we did. So we go back and look at that as well and evaluate and try and grow from it. I think that's the important piece. Third downs were way better this go around, so that's a step in the right direction. And then closing the game out defensively was good to see us be able to get there with our front four, and the rush and coverage work together there. So there's a lot of, you know, there's enough signs of growth, but there's on the other side of that, there's plenty of signs that we've got a lot more work to do. But I'm happy. I'll celebrate the win, that's for sure.
Yeah. Saw Dorian Strong come in a few series for Tre'Davious White. What went through that decision?
Yeah, just, you know, looking at a young player and giving him some experience and some valuable reps. And, you know, it wasn't anything Trey didn't do. That was the plan going into the game.
And Sean, the decision to not have Codrington active, what went into that? And who you used on the returns, what went into that?
Similar, just looking at, you know, different players, seeing how the roster, you know, the game day roster looks with different players up, different players down. With the goal of making sure we have our best guys out there, you know, as we head down the road here.
Walker and Phillips, that tandem, you know, how impressive were you to see those two guys out there at the same time?
Yeah, two big guys. It was good to have Jordan up for this game, and you know, he brings some things. He brings an edge to our defense. He loves to play, plays with an edge.
Sean, your 90th win. How does it, when especially a tough game like today? How does that feel to hit that?
Yeah.
Continuing to move up the win totals and the overall.
Yeah, what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. It got a great staff around me through the years, you know, really good, great players around me, and you can't do this job by yourself. And extremely grateful. Grateful to God, grateful for all those who have helped me over the years. And like I said, it's a true team effort. So, trust me, I wasn't thinking about trying to get 90 during the game. That was a hard game, and we knew it was going to be tough. They're all tough. So, but I'm extremely grateful and grateful to the fans too, because a lot of those wins have happened at home. So they played a big part in it.
Coach, you're putting up 30 points, and you, like you just mentioned, you know, there's room for growth when you're hitting your stride. How scary could this team really be when things really get start to click and come in season?
Well, we'll see. I don't think we really know, Mookie, yet. We'll see. You know, it's a week-to-week league. You know, it's a hard league to win. So you celebrate every win, and you learn. You learn from the wins. You learn from the ones that don't work out the way that you hope they work out. But right, Vic? Yeah, you've been in this league a long time, a lot of you guys, right? And it's not easy. It's not easy, so it's good to get a 1 o'clock home win and a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I'm gonna go home and watch somebody else sweat it out a little bit here. So.
What was your reaction to Josh on that final scoring drive at the throw to Dalton? Obviously, the run before him.
Yeah, the will to win. You know, at halftime, I could tell he just had that look in his eye, and he's just got an incredible will to win and spirit about him, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And when he made that scramble run, I think, on one of those drives, and he just, you know, when he raises his level of play, it's like, okay, boys, they raised their level of play, and they knew what time it was. And again, I should have credit when I started. The second half running game was legit. It really was. Coach Cromer, Coach Gund, Joe calling those, dialing them up, and the O-line, all involved in the running game, did a phenomenal job. I think in the first half we had close to 60 yards, and to end with 165 is very impressive. That adjustment, and I thought the staff overall did a great job of communicating and making the adjustments we had to make to pull the game out. So, good.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Bills at 4-0.
Sean McDermott mentions how nice a day it was. Yes, a 1 o'clock game. The Bills will not play another afternoon game until, what, 4 weeks from today? Next week's a Sunday night. Following week's a Monday night. Week after that's the bye. Then it's at Carolina, whatever that is, 4 weeks away. So hope you enjoyed this one. If you love those 1 o'clock games, used to be every week, and now it's rare. Bills over the Saints, 31-19. Before we do anything else, let's give our network affiliates 10 seconds to identify themselves here on the Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hopefully that was enough time. Touchdowns for Tyler Warren in the Colts-Rams game and Ashton Jeanty for the Raiders, two rookies in the end zone. Baltimore leading Kansas City 7-3 at Arrowhead. Chiefs with the ball in Ravens territory, second quarter. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Post-game coverage continues next. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Takes the snap, fakes the throw to the flat, looks down the sideline. He's got Kincaid, who's going to walk it in for a 23-yard touchdown.
Eye on the quarterback. Brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Just quickly reviewing Allen's day statistically. 16 of 22 passing for 209. Two touchdowns, that one to Kincaid, and another earlier in the game to Khalil Shakir. He was intercepted one time, ran the ball seven times for 45 yards, and a score that included a big third down conversion that I believe directly preceded that touchdown to Kincaid.
Bills win 31-19, much like last week when they beat the Dolphins. You know, wasn't exactly perfect, but these are our lives now. They can manage double-digit wins against lesser teams. This is a lesser team than Miami, I think. But the Bills got there. Like, they had a mosquito sort of annoying them for 3 hours and just sort of... There's one...
Unless we all kind of had that same mosquito annoying us for three hours. Like, God.
But you couldn't really see it or find it. Just as soon as you felt it on your arm, they were gone. The Bills had another injury scare in this game, but in Bills fashion, there was nothing to be afraid of. Terrell Bernard went down, and there's Sean McDermott on the field with Bernard down, reaching at his leg or his foot. And McDermott is taking the opportunity to look like he's yelling at the officials. So what happened? Like, is there something? Did somebody clip Bernard or what's happening?
He gets stepped on by a
teammate.
Right. He wasn't. I don't even know that. I didn't know that he was hurt. He got a shoe taken off by that. I think it was Jordan Phillips that stepped on him. But McDermott, there was something. I don't remember what it was that he was hot about. Right before that I think that was a continuation of him being mad about something that happened earlier in the series.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was now, but he was upset about some call that was made or not made or whatever it was, and then just took the opportunity to continue with the refs there.
You think that was it?
I think that was it.
Why is he even out there? You're not allowed to go out of the field. Like, you're not supposed to be allowed to just go out of the field when there's an injury.
No, he does.
But
yeah, he goes out there all the time.
Most coaches don't.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were supposed to be allowed to go out there.
All right.
If I see a head coach on the field with a man down, I feel like something really bad has happened. Yeah. In this case, it was he lost his shoe?
I think that's...
Just do really anything you want, I guess.
What happened there, but yeah.
It's your year, buddy. Just go out there and... you know what it is? I got the mosquito buzzing around me because I'm not doing well with... refs who are ripped like this guy today. I miss a doughy ref.
Yeah.
I don't want the refs to look like they've won Mr. Universe.
That guy made Ed Hockley look like me.
Oh, worse.
By the way, in case anyone, I'm not ripped.
I miss the doughy refs.
Just want to make sure people out there weren't.
Do you think you can get that job anymore without sort of being able to pass a stress test?
I don't know, but that guy, We were wondering, did he lift weights right before he came out so his veins would all be bulging?
I bet they had a bench press for him in the tunnel just to warm up.
I mean, he looked like he just got done.
I might read the rules to warm up as a doughy ref. Is this Land Clark? Land is a name you can have?
Apparently. Yes.
I don't know. I guess there's probably something like, you know what, I'm in charge here with a guy like that. But McDermott was not happy about something. And he's out there on the field, like right out there when Bernard's down. I'm like, what? This must be bad. And, of course, one play later, just like Benford against the Ravens, he's fine. You know, Benford just had the wind knocked out of him. There's really nothing to see here. 31-19 Bills. Baltimore now leads 7-6 in its game in Kansas City. Chiefs were in the red zone but could not score a touchdown, so that is a 7-6 game after a second Kansas City field goal. Jacksonville up 14-3 in San Francisco. Jacksonville is 2-1, and most people seem to always be complaining about them, but they're looking good to go to 3-1 in San Francisco with the ball again and a double-digit lead late in the second quarter. And the Colts are still up 10-6 in L.A. That's inside the two-minute warning. 716-803-0550 for your calls. Bills over the Saints, 31-19. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Here's the snap. Orbit motion. It's a reverse. Alave going Philly special. And it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line. And up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
That is our New Era signature play of the game, brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. Cole Bishop's first interception as a Bill, as an NFLer, and it came at a big moment there late in the first half with New Orleans. I mean, that play was there. He came from across the formation and just was there just in time to make a fantastic leaping interception.
You know, you and I have not argued you know, about like football decisions and things very many times over the 20 years we've been doing this. But one time we did was a Sunday night game, like, or maybe a Monday night game, because it wouldn't have been like the marquee game, and it was more recent than for it to have been like so long ago. Maybe a Monday night game the Bills played in New England. And this is like Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback. And the game is kind of close. It's a low-scoring game. It's late in the first half, and it's kind of close. Like, oh, here's a chance to win. Like, you're in this game. Mm-hmm. And I'm not looking at this right now. I'm just sort of remembering it. But Taylor threw a pass left side in the end zone that might have been picked off. Like, they sort of took a chance. And I was in here the next day with you. Like, they just sort of run it. You know, just run the clock out. It's worse for them if it's not worse for them if they score a touchdown, but the touchdowns on a play like that, low percentage, and you give Brady, I don't know, whatever it was, a minute and a half or something to get it back. And you're like, wait a minute, aren't you the guy, like, always go for it, pedal down? Like, yes, but you're not trying, the game isn't to score the most points possible. The game is to score more than the other guy. And so you want to use the clock here. I'm an underdog. Like, just sort of mess with them a little bit and get the game into the locker room, whatever, tied, whatever it would have been that night.
Yeah.
This was New Orleans right there.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing to you.
Okay. You already did.
Not that I'm going to assail your integrity as your positioning on how you like to play football.
Please.
But I think, like, I'm not trying to play for a field goal here. I'm on the doorstep. I'm going to call a perfect play that's going to take an incredible defender to an incredible defensive effort. I mean, that was there. If I'm doing this show with you in New Orleans, I'm defending that play call all day long. Get in the end zone. Like, what do I have to lose exactly? I'm a 16 point underdog. I'm not milking clock. I want to score.
Well, some of it is your ability or your odds of executing the play. And I don't remember, like, that example from a decade ago.
Oh, God, no. I don't even remember.
But, any of it.
I'm at your mercy on what I believe you that we argued about.
What I'm remembering is, like, really? That's your play call? And that's what I would say here. It's not like they still have Drew Brees in his prime, and you're, you know, asking Chris Olave to throw for a touchdown. But, you know, your ability to execute it is a factor in the decision-making process. And, like, I don't know. It didn't work. Like, it was a good play by Bishop, even very good. But you should be able, you know, like, you want to think you're going to be able to pull off a play like, you run it, you practice a play like that, it needs to work. That's really it. And it backfired badly. I mean, you could score by running the ball. You could not score by running the ball. You could fumble. But what's probably going to happen is, worst case scenario, is a chip shot field goal and you're down one with the ball to start the second half. And, like, that's just what I would do. And, you know, this way they're up they're up four. If they make that play, they're up four with a minute plus left in the half. And what are the Bills' odds of getting points? Pretty good. Like, they're
pretty
the Bills.
Good. That's right. That's right. And as it turned out, they ended up taking a penalty on the return that set them back, and they never really got in gear on that possession. And maybe if they'd started where Bishop returned it to, they would have, even with so little time left. But I would want to shoot my shot. I'm here to try to win. I've got this play. I'm going to see, because I'm on this side of the argument, I'm going to say it's an incredible play by Bishop, and that defends the call. It took an incredible play to undo me. There is how I would look at it.
I need to see it again. Like, couldn't Olave have just thrown a better pass and have, you know, just clear Bishop and it's an easy touchdown? But
I mean, he jumped like 12 feet in the air.
He didn't jump 12 feet. Like, the geometry is a problem here now. But okay, you know, he's athletic. They could have underestimated that. Bishop's ability get up and get that ball.
And maybe even the reason he's on the right side of the formation, the reason he goes from his right to his left is because he's following Olave, I think, maybe. So the design of the play dragged the defender into it. That, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a double reverse option pass. So, you know, if you want that element of it, I guess you're going to have to settle for maybe a defender's going to be coming with the guy. You know, not that he was covering Olave, but I think he was following him across the formation, and that's how he ended up over there.
Updates around the league. The Rams got a Davante Adams touchdown catch late in the second quarter, 7 seconds left to take a 13-10 lead over the Colts to halftime. Juju Smith-Schuster for the Hello. Chiefs. The Ravens have just stopped in this game. They're at 3rd and 10 now. It's Kansas City 13-7 with just under 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. And San Francisco is goal to go. Final minute of the first half, down 14-3 against Jacksonville. Lamar Jackson on the 3rd and 10 runs for about 8. I don't think he looks right.
The first time I saw him run out to, it was in the first quarter, out to his right, the right edge of the formation, I thought he gave up way too easily on not beating someone and getting yards. It didn't. So I guess I agree with you. That looked weird to me.
Detroit sacked him 7 times. How is that possible? And in this game, he just looks like he's just not all, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's either injured or he's slow or, you know, we're all wrong. But it's fourth down for the Ravens. We'll get back to you on that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Bills over the Saints, 31-19. Your calls are welcome, 716-803-0550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. A couple more updates for you. Another Ashton Jeanty touchdown run for the Raiders. This one from 64 yards out.
Ooh.
4 minutes to go in the first half, 14-6. Raiders over the Bears. Jacksonville with the ball again. San Francisco gets a field goal, but the Jaguars are down close, according to my sometimes accurate ESPN app. 14-6 Jacksonville, 21 seconds to go in the half. They're at the San Francisco 19. How much of Pittsburgh did you see?
I missed I missed when it got interesting. It was maybe 24-6, and I went outside and mowed the grass. Seriously, 10 after 12. I'm like, yeah, this is over. I mowed the grass, came back in. I'm like, oh, we got a game. So I missed the best part of it, I guess.
24-21.
Yeah,
is what it ends up. I thought they were really impressive, actually, for a lot of that game. Rodgers, the big play to Metcalf. If you're going to play them, you have to respect him, Metcalf. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, Rodgers, but Metcalf. I mean, he is a game breaker. Just there's not a lot of – he doesn't have, like, 10 catch games, you know? He's just got the home run
right.
swing. And they played without Jalen Warren in this game, which sent fantasy managers scrambling to their devices. But Gainwell was really good.
Two scores, right?
Yeah. Two scores. He just looked great in that game, I thought. So I don't know what that means for Warren. They'll get the bye next week. You play in Europe, you get the choice. I think that's still how it works.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's staying in Europe. They're going to play Cleveland there in London.
And then
they have
the bye after that.
That's so long to be in Europe.
Yeah.
But the Steelers are taking the bye in week 5. They're 3-1. The Ravens don't look good at all in this game against Kansas City. They went down the field to start the game 7-0, but since they've been pretty much inept against that defense. 13-7 Chiefs, Kansas City ball at the 21 of Baltimore with 2 minutes to go in the half. The Colts trail the Rams to start the second half 13-10. And I mentioned the Raiders game and the Jacksonville games already. Raiders and Jaguars in the lead, both by 14-6. Bills have New England next. Stephon Diggs had his best game as a Patriot today. 100-yard game.
All right. I did not see – I did see one highlight from that game, and it was a Travion Henderson touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing else.
Diggs 6 for 101.
All right.
Didn't score. But good they scored six touchdowns.
Yeah.
New England.
Good for him and good for Cardi B.
good for all involved.
Good for everyone, yes.
How about that roughing the kicker 2 weeks in a row?
Man, I'll be stunned if that dude is okay. Like, I guess he said after the game that he's going to get some scans and get looked at, but that it felt all right. I mean, he was well enough to come out on the field with that big brace on to hold for that final field goal. But that looked really awful. Like, I thought he got his leg snapped. I thought he broke his leg right away with the way he got hit there.
It's also how he grabbed at it.
Right.
You know, maybe that was the case, but...
It looked like real agony right away. Yeah.
Teams have to stop doing that. Or is the whole, like, here's an underdog. We talked about this already with New Orleans, like, taking chances or, you know, quote chances or not. Is that what underdogs need to be doing, is just going after kickers? Speaking of the Pittsburgh game, so late in that game, Minnesota has pretty much a chip shot field goal. And I think it was pretty late. I don't know. Feels like it was. Whatever it was. And Jalen Ramsey appeared to just go it, jumped off, like, didn't even, it would look like maybe somebody, a glitch in a video game. Like, he just came around the corner and rushed the kicker before the ball was snapped. He was at, you know, the holder almost at the time that the ball was. He was just standing there. He was good not to run anybody over.
Right.
And Greg Olson, the excellent Fox analyst, said they practiced that. When they see the holder move his hand in such a way that indicates here comes the snap, then because the field goal is so short to begin with, and, you know, we're seeing, you watched the end of the 1 o'clock window last week, you saw blocked field goals over and over.
Right.
Like, that there's now a point of emphasis to block these kicks, that the Steelers have Ramsey, the great, great point by Olson, like, just go get it. And instead of, you know, the snap on one, once the holder moved his hand, it was on two. So there was no snap, and it's a 5-yard penalty, but the Steelers didn't care because it was the same chip shot field goal.
Right.
Like, they just wanted to have the better chance.
Shot, right?
Take
I'm going to try to jump this, and if I get caught and get flagged, no harm, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, the penalty is not much of a penalty.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
It's just go, just take. Guess.
Maybe so is waiting, not snapping it on that first hand motion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe that's because there's, I wonder how much is that evolving. Maybe it's always been a thing and I've just never noticed it. I can't remember ever talking about that before, but maybe it's a response to so many kicks being blocked. Maybe they're noticing teams are jumping on that motion, so let's wait a pause from that motion and see if we can't pick up 5 yards and also keep ourselves from getting a kick blocked.
Right. Yeah, that's a new one as far as I know. We will have locker room sound coming up. Terrell Bernard and Cole Bishop each had big plays in this game. The Chiefs are in the end zone again late in the first half. Pacheco from Mahomes to make it 19-7. And they'll have an extra point or go for two if they want. The Ravens have really looked rough in this first half. So Kansas City is putting it on them here.
Congrats to all of us who didn't take Kansas City as an underdog at home. Well done.
That's right.
Long game, but still, it doesn't look good.
What were the narratives? You had the Baltimore defense is bad narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Chiefs offense is shot narrative. You had... what else? The Ravens can't win a close game there, can't beat a good team, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
which we don't know yet. But it looks like Kansas City, it looks like the AFC Championship. I mean, they're doing whatever they want
on
offense. And it's been, except for that one game in January, it's been a long time since I've seen that. And Lamar Jackson, we talked about it earlier, doesn't look right. You know, it's just a little bit. Half second slow. I don't know what that is, if that's physical or mental or not even real. But their offense has been bad in this game. 7-0 right away and then terrible since.
20-7 now.
20-7. They go for the one. Very safe.
I wondered if they would go for two there. Yeah.
They don't want to chase the points.
Yeah.
17-6 is the halftime score. Jacksonville at San Francisco. 13-10 Rams. Colts with the ball to start the third quarter. 14-6 Raiders still in the first half. And Chicago is doing nothing on offense, reverting to form after getting to play Dallas last week. One quick thing, we'll get to the locker room. On that morning game, Greg Olson said he'd never had a Guinness before today.
Dude's been missing out.
It's that good? He didn't love it. He didn't love it. It just seems like sort of like a you know, common beer. Or maybe it was yesterday, but before his trip to Ireland, he'd never had a Guinness.
I mean, I want to say I envy someone who is having their first Guinness in Ireland And but I also admire that he didn't just say it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's Greg Olson.
I didn't hear it, but you're telling me he said he didn't really like it that
he
much.
Said, he said he wasn't eager to have another one.
Oh, okay.
He tried it. He thought he needed to try it. He sure. It was okay.
Yeah.
That was it.
Did he say it was fine?
He might have. He could have. It would have been the same. Would have meant the same thing. Bills over the Saints, 31-19. We'll get to the locker room next. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back. Beautiful day. Bills over the Saints in week four, 31-19. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Let's get to the locker room. It's brought to you by this, you know, section where we play interviews with players. Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard.
Feel that as well?
Yeah, I think so. Especially in the run game. That's, you know, something we'll go back and look at. I got to watch the tape to, you know, really assess, give you a fair assessment. But, you know, from, you know, my perspective, it's missed tackles. It's guys staying in the gaps, doing their jobs. And, you know, like I said, that's correctable. So we'll get back to work and, you know, get those things cleaned up.
You were really effective in the blitz, or at least the two that I can think of where you got to them and threw it away and then pressured them another time. Is that something you guys saw coming into this, or did you take advantage of something you saw in the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we you know, talked about throughout the week was, you know, getting pressure in his face and, you know, making him make a decision early. I feel like we did a good job of that, you know, not necessarily as much in the first half, but going into the second half, you know, we made some adjustments and, you know, the guys up front were winning a lot and, you know, he didn't have time to sit back there and diagnose the defense and really, you know, spit the ball out. So, you know, I think that was an adjustment, you know, that we made and, you know, executed on in the second half.
What was your reaction when they called that a catch for Cooks and just waiting for that ruling, you know, through those?
The third down play?
There was going to be a 17-yard touchdown.
You know, I didn't really see it live. I turned around and watched it on the video. It looked like the ball hit the ground, so I was kind of expecting that. You know, thankfully, that's what they called. Huge play in the game, though, for sure.
How do you juggle acknowledging the mistakes and areas to improve while also looking at it as your 4-0 football team?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the goal is to win the game. Obviously, we haven't played to our standard, but it's week four, you know. So, like I said, man, we got a lot of stuff to clean up. But at the end of the day, we gave up 19 points to a hungry offense that came in here and, you know, tried to assert their will. And, you know, we did what we had to do to win the game.
Coming off for a play, you obviously did not
get a finish. Yeah. My shoe just kind of, like, got knocked off. I couldn't get it back on.
Okay.
I got the green dot, so I didn't want to run off the field. And, you know, somebody didn't have a helmet ready, and it's an issue. So,
yeah.
I just have to, like, kind of take a knee there and just get it all sorted out.
I just walked over. I'm sorry. Can you just talk us through what your vantage point was on Cole's interception?
Yeah, it was you know, sort of a trick play. I think it was a reverse throwback, and then tried to throw it. I don't know if it was a quarterback or whoever got out late. But I was on the other side of the field, and you know, I just see him flash across the field and take the ball away. I think he caught it with one hand. Huge play in the game. You know, a huge play for him and for the defense. So. Super excited for him.
When you go back to your rookie year, you play against the Jets there. It's a little uneven game. You're kind of spinning a little bit, right?
Yeah.
For what Cole's gone through, not playing as much last year because of the injury, to come back out here and have that type of play, what would that mean for a young guy like that?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge for his confidence, huge for, you know, just his ability to – he knows he can go out there and make plays. So, like I said, man, I'm happy for him. You know, he's worked his ass off the last few years to get ready to be in a spot where he's contributing and, you know, a starting NFL safety. So, like I said, man, I'm happy for him. I know – we'll go back, get some things corrected, but he's gotten better every single week. So I'm excited for him.
What can his building confidence add to this defense?
Yeah, I think just another confident playmaker. You know, he's one of those guys that we know what he's good at and what he does, and it's taking the ball away, communicating, and flying around and hitting. And, you know, as long as he continues on the track that he's on, you know, it's going to be, you know, a weapon for us, honestly, down the stretch.
Terrell Bernard and the Bills go to 4-0. Cole Bishop had his first NFL interception today. Here's Bishop.
All right, Cole. So obviously a big play, the interception.
Yep.
What did you see from the start of the snap formation? Take us through everything.
Yeah, we had a little double-ish coverage on the receiver, and then when he went behind the line, you know, I started to go with him and then saw the quarterback leaking out, and fortunately I was able to make a play.
When you see the ball in the air, do you know that you could get to it? Is it a risk? Like, what are you weighing in your mind?
I mean, it's tough because you got to make a split-second decision whether to play the man or the ball. And I made the choice to try to go get the ball and was able to go get it.
team's reaction, the crowd's reaction. How good did that feel?
It was awesome. I was super excited. I was a little tired after running around. But yeah, it was awesome.
You've gotten yourself started in your role here to make a play that big for your team. What does that mean?
It's awesome. I mean, I'm just trying to go out there and do my job, help the team as much as I can. So being able to make a play in the red zone is huge.
Cole, when you caught it, did you realize where you were? You got up and ran. You obviously, it was the penalty, but you had a decision to make there too.
Yeah, that was something last year that I probably wouldn't have done, but in practice and stuff, I actually had a interception practice week, this week, where I hit the ground and did run. So that probably helped out a little bit. So just trying to learn and, you know, be able to make that.
Run defense was kind of struggling at times, especially early. How did you guys kind of right the ship and keep battling to the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to speak on it until we watch the film on that aspect. But just everybody doing their 111th. Gap integrity was, I mean, we talked about it at halftime. Should everybody stay in your gap, show up in the run game. So we were able to start to limit it.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here on WGR locally here in Buffalo, 3 to 7 weekdays. So tomorrow, Eric Wood joins us each Monday at 4. Again, enjoy the rest of your night. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.